This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Darren Armstrong, toxic brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for Celebrity Big Brother 3. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Celebrity 3 live feeds. It's our first update of the season, and we are going to do our best to try and figure out and let you know what's going on here in the house. It was day 9 in the house. We missed 8 full days prior to yesterday, but we're going to figure this out here. And with me to figure this out is Booyah. How you doing, Booyah?
I am excited, Taryn. Listen, we didn't even know we were going to get feeds yesterday. We were told Friday for an update. I was like, that's our job. What are you doing? And then they gave it to us last night, and a lot has happened. You just mentioned it. 9 days. That's 8 days worth of groundwork we're going to try and like catch up on here with what, maybe 5 hours of content. So it's definitely going to be difficult. It's going to be bumpy, but it's going to be fun because last night's feeds were a lot of fun to consume.
Yes, they opened up and they were already ready to go here. They're wild in this house. So there's a lot to catch up on. We will get straight into it here. As the first update, I'm going to try to update you on not only what happened last night on the feeds, but also what has been happening as much as I can, and where things kind of stand in the house, because as we know, the episodes don't always do a great job of filling us in on exactly what's happening in the game. So first of all, just a quick recap of what we saw in the episode, and then sort of like getting to where what we think is going on after the episode prior to last night. We'll get into it all. So Misha has won the first HOH. She created an alliance with Todrick Lamar and Chris Kirkpatrick. On the other side of things, Carson created an alliance with Todrick, Shayna, and Cynthia. That's what we saw in the first episode. Then in last night's episode, we saw Mariah was also trying to create an alliance. And when she did that, Cynthia ends up telling Mariah and Teddy about this four-person alliance with Carson, Shayna, Cynthia, and Todrick. And they were added to the alliance, making it an alliance of 6. And they called this alliance the Formation. So there were 2 sides. There was the Formation, which was Carson, Todrick, Shayna, Cynthia, Mariah, and Teddy. And then on the other side, you had Misha as the first HOH, creating the Athletes Alliance with herself, Todrick, Lamar, and Chris Kirkpatrick. Now, Misha wanted to include Mariah in this alliance, and she wanted to target Teddy, who was the person that she did refuse to deal with during the HOH. And so she brings Mariah in. She tells her about the plan and her alliance. She says, I'm in an alliance with Todrick Lamar and Chris Kirkpatrick. and I want to backdoor Teddy, and I want you to be in this alliance. And so far, things are sounding great for Mirai, except Misha then says, also, I want you on the block as a pawn, which Mirai was not super fond of. And also the fact that she's targeting Teddy, she was not super fond of, considering she's just made an alliance with her. So Mirai rats her out to Teddy, who tells Todrick, who tells Misha. And then we see Misha nominate Mirai and Carson as theoretically still pawns for a Teddy backdoor, but maybe also now just to straight up get Mirai out. That's what we saw in the episode, Booyah.
Yeah, that is everything until the final Playing with Fire tune was hit. Then the feeds came on and we got a lot of updates on everything that we saw. Some stuck somewhat true. Some has changed rapidly, and a lot of it is muddied and in the air. So yes, on our road to the first eviction tonight, there is a lot of moving pieces here, Taryn.
Okay, so all of this next stuff is stuff that we may see in the episode. Some of it may be left out, but it's mostly speculation based on what we've been able to glean from the conversations that happened last night. So from what we can maybe tell, and again, take this with a grain of salt, we had not seen this directly. We're getting it secondhand from people who aren't even really telling the story of what happened, because it's not like they have to tell. This is like exposition in a book or a show or something, where it's like there's no like new person to the house where they're like, oh, let me tell you about how all of this works and what everything that happened. Like, they were all there. So when they refer to it, it's like, yeah, when that thing happened with Mirai, right? It's like, what? What was it? So we kind of have to guess. But it appears that after the nominations, Mirai got caught playing both sides, sort of, right? She was with Misha. She had that information from Misha. She told Teddy. This kind of gets back. I imagine it's part of it is the fact that she's on the block next to Carson. That formation kind of chooses Carson, right? And part of the reason is Mirai, she was doing shady stuff. She was talking to Misha. She had information. Misha wants to work with her, whatever it is. We can't trust her as much. We trust Carson. Carson's our guy. And they kind of make that choice. And Mirai is kind of ousted from the formation, it seems. In the meantime, Carson and Cynthia in particular are seemingly getting a lot closer with Teddy. And that it's Teddy, Carson, and Cynthia. And they're like kind of developing a bit of a trio where Mirai is now kind of getting pushed out. Todrick is still working his thing with Misha, and Shayna for most of this update is going to be kind of like, who knows? She's with everyone. She's with no one. I'm not sure. So Todrick was not fond of these developments. So based on what he's been saying, he basically, ever since Mirai and Teddy were added to the alliance, has been not comfortable. Basically, that scene we saw in the episode where Cynthia was like, oh, you guys want an alliance? That's great, because we already have one. It's me, Carson, Shayna, and hey, look, it's Todrick, you're in the alliance. He was like, I don't like this. I can't work with Cynthia. And I don't like these, Mirai and Teddy are not two people that I was planning to like work with in this alliance. He then sees Teddy getting in really tight with Carson and Cynthia. And he decides this alliance is not for me. And instead of wanting Mirai out, like it seemed like he was thinking of before, he has now changed his mind somewhere along the line. And decides that he actually would prefer Teddy to leave because she's too tight with Carson and Cynthia.
Yes. So basically, as far as formal ceremonies on the show that we've missed so far, the veto has happened. We believe Carson to have won it. Carson takes himself off. Teddy gets put on the block. And now it's going to be Teddy versus Mirai. And it's interesting to hear Todrick talk about all this stuff, because basically what I think happens, right, is Mirai gets put up and then completely finds out that this is not just that pawn situation. It's the double dipping situation. And I think now a lot of people have looked at it that way. And I think Mirai's game overwhelmed her severely, to the point where like Mirai kind of on the feeds last night is barely seen. And when she's seen, she is silent. She is not really communicating with anyone all that much. There's clearly one or two people she feels comfortable chit-chatting with, but not a lot. And Teddy is in like survival mode, trying to like do something, and is frustrated by the position she has been put in. And in the middle of all this, Todrick, the king of double dipping, is like trying to make something good happen for what's gone on. And I mean, it's not great what he's doing, but he's doing a lot. So I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this situation with Todrick is, and he mentions it to Carson a little bit later, that he's felt this way before. Apparently, that on Drag Race, he feels like Carson is closer and tighter with some of the other judges and with Rue, and that he's kind of left out. And so this is not new for Todrick and Carson, that he intended to work with Carson, but he's kind of felt like Carson is tighter with other people. And this is part of why he's decided to go to the other side. And he did so pretty publicly. Seemingly, right? This seems to be something that has already happened and already been, disseminated throughout the house. That they know that Todrick has chosen a side and he wants Teddy out. And he's with Misha. He's not really with them anymore. That he is no longer in the spot that he was in the episode where he's like in good with everyone. He is still in good with, I would say, the majority of the house, but the minority of the house, which is now what used to be Formation, is like that Todrick guy screwed us over.
Yeah. Then to give you a good example to maybe put this into perspective, it's like if Taryn and I end up in the house and I'm like, well, Taryn, listen, I know you and Jacob Jones, like back in the outside world, you're like, Jacob Jones is my guy. And now I'm seeing you talk to someone and I'm getting that Jacob Jones, Taryn vibe. And I'm not feeling like you're going to be a Taryn Puya vibe here. So it's kind of like that where I think Todrick's coming from, but it's also really causing him to overthink. I think having someone in the game that he knows, he initially thought, this is my person. I can play with this person. I can rely on this person. But now that he's feeling like Carson is closer with other people, he feels like he can't rely on that anymore. And it's interesting because he's also still simultaneously going to try and salvage this in some way. So I don't think he's even fully decided which side he wants to be on. I think for now he knows he's on the Misha side of things until later, but he's going to try and patch up the until later part throughout the night. Mm.
Yes. So as we said, Carson seemingly won the veto, took himself off the block, and Misha replaced him with Teddy. Now, I don't know if the target had pretty much always been on Teddy, and perhaps the edit was just misleading us to think it might be Mirai, or if it really was Mirai with Teddy as a backup. And then when Carson won, it was like, well, who else do I put up? I might as well just do the Teddy plan. Or if it was fully on Mirai and then things changed because of Todrick or because of something else. However, once Teddy goes up on the block, it seems Teddy is now the target. Teddy as the target. It's Teddy versus Carson. There's also some other, we'll get back to that situation. There's also some other drama that is occurring in the house. A lot of it is unclear because not only did we not see it ourselves, but anytime anybody talks about it, the feeds tend to cut. So take this with an even greater grain of salt here as we are very wildly speculating on a lot of this. Todrick talked to Teddy, and we'll talk a little bit more about that conversation later. But he referred to some kind of drama between Teddy and Lamar, and that Todd was involved, and that Todd was saying some inappropriate things, perhaps. He's going to have a conversation with Mirai later, where Mirai talks about how she feels like Todd is a little bit inappropriate in terms of some of the things he said. And Todrick said, yeah, the jury is kind of still out on Todd in terms of like his appropriateness, I guess. So that's going on, but that isn't having a huge impact on the game, it seems, so far. But what is that there was also some drama with Mirai. And this is, again, very unclear, but trying to speculate, based on some snippets of what people have said, In particular, Teddy and Cynthia, who have talked about it the most. Mirai seems to have been uncomfortable with some kind of situation, probably involving Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC, and that that she has either felt like he was just kind of generally being creepy, maybe touched her too much at one point. Not sure. I don't even know if it was Chris Kirkpatrick for sure time. So basically some of the things that Teddy has said, and again, this is coming from Teddy about a situation that didn't even involve her, primarily. So, very, very, not reliable information. But Teddy said something along those lines. She said she told Cynthia that she told, Mirai, hey, I want you, if I leave, I want you to play this game respectably. And if you don't want to be touching a man, don't do it. And if you feel some kind of way about it and you've made that clear, and Cynthia's like, yeah, exactly, then don't be doing that. Feeling as though, and Cynthia said, I don't appreciate the way that Mirai has handled the situation. Not that she doesn't have the right to feel uncomfortable about the situation, but I don't like the way she's handled it. And so the way that they're talking about it makes it seem as though Mirai had expressed at one point that she felt uncomfortable in some way, and has now perhaps either changed her mind or they felt like her complaints were not super justified. I'm not exactly sure what it is about the situation that they felt that she wasn't handling it appropriately. Teddy does later say that she uses an example and she says that, hey, if I said that Lamar was being creepy and watching you all the time, Cynthia, and then we were going to get him out because of that, and then I changed my mind, like, that wouldn't be cool. And so I feel like, you know, this is perhaps the root of their issue here. This drama appears to have culminated in Mirai feeling like she perhaps might leave the house. That was being talked about a lot. And Chris Kirkpatrick actually did leave the house. I don't know if that was related to this drama, or if it was something separate, but he did come back to the house. However, he is not a fan of Mirai. He feels like she, has not been kind to him, and has made fun of him. And that came from Teddy, I believe. And he felt like Teddy was there for him during the height of the drama. So if Chris Kirkpatrick had his way, he would love for Teddy to stay and for Mirai to go. And so that is the most of, again, so much speculation. Please do not take this as gospel.
Yeah, this is easily one of the worst things for us to not know exactly what happened with, because in, you know, doing our job of trying to tell you what we saw on the feeds, we are essentially giving you a retell of a retell of a retell. So it's going to be very difficult to pin down now. So that is something that has definitely happened, with Mirai's discomfort in the house.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The other thing that has happened that I've heard Shayna retell last night is that there was a situation where Mariah had heard Todd Bridges and Chris Kirkpatrick talk about, you know, if I lose, I don't care. Like if I'm up, I go home. It doesn't matter. And Mariah, in the midst of all this stuff going on, went to the bathroom and then looked into the camera and pretty much loud enough that a couple people have heard now said that, you know, I want to be here. If these people don't care, get these losers out of here. And Todd Bridges seems to be completely fine. Like he's had a talk with Mariah. He told Misha and a couple in the HOH room, he's fine. But Chris might have been rubbed the wrong way about this. Some people on Twitter were talking about Mariah said something about him being JT's backup dancer. Now that I haven't seen, that just seems like the good Hollywood headline to put. So again, none of this take it with like serious, like heavy, like for sureness. But these are the things that I have heard as far as the Chris Kirkpatrick stuff goes. Now, him being removed, the other thing that is speculated out there that there's been like little kernels of potential evidence is that Chris Kirkpatrick may have tested falsely positive for COVID and was removed to a hotel because there was some talk of them having a mask up until he came home. So I think that maybe makes more sense. But the fact that he was involved in both of these situations has kind of made people merge the two as if something happened that was so bad that they removed him. And I think if this is the case, I could potentially see this being the reason why we didn't get feeds night one, because then if we see Chris Kirkpatrick's not there, the whole and everyone's masked, the whole world would have imploded. And I think they didn't want that at all. So I think that's why we didn't get to see it.
Yes. So so that's the bulk of the drama here. Again, Teddy did mention that she had encouraged Mariah to leave the game, which is part of why we think that perhaps that was on the table at some point. That's the drama, right? That's seemingly everything drama wise that that we missed, that it's very hard to piece together. We may get more information on this in the episodes. Likely not for most of this. So it may remain a mystery until, you know, either we get more information from people who are leaving the house or just forever. So as things stand, given all of that drama, it does seem like Teddy is the most likely person to be evicted tonight on the episode, with Todrick, Lamar, Todd, Kirkpatrick, and Shayna all being votes for Teddy to go, with on the other side, Carson, Cynthia, and perhaps Chris Kattan as votes for Mariah to leave. Carson and Cynthia because they're loyal to Teddy. They are very tight with her. Kattan because he's not a huge fan of Mariah, and also, but who knows. There was talk that Kattan had said that he would vote Mariah out. But Misha feels like that is not the case, perhaps, and that he might not do that. We didn't get a lot from Kattan last night in terms of where he actually stands, so yeah. I'm not sure.
The only time I really saw, there were like two instances where Kattan, or three instances Kattan was a big play on the feeds. One was while you were podcasting, Taryn. He basically assured Mariah that he's not voting to get rid of her. And then the other two scenes I've seen with him, one was him like yelling and having this commotion in the sauna room, like they were all laughing. So there was that. But then the third thing was just him and Mariah hanging out like two buddies. I think he's going to keep Mariah, because the other thing that was being talked about at one point was, you know, this whole thing with Chris Kirkpatrick having made this promise to Misha that he's going to vote with her, even though Teddy's been there for him and Mariah has, you know, said things about him. Misha suggested maybe if you can convince Chris to switch his vote, then you vote the other way. Then you keep your word, but we also get what we want, is kind of what happened there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, like not super clear in terms of where he stands exactly. He's not, it seems as though, Kattan, and this may have been easy to predict, is not a player that is going to be voting based on, sort of like his strategy of, where he's aligned or anything. It's mostly just kind of, you know, whatever he's feeling. Or whatever gets into his head from other people. So either way, the votes are, it's difficult to find the votes for Teddy to stay here. Even if they did get Kattan, they would also need to pull Kirkpatrick or Shayna. There's not enough momentum in that direction at this time. However, we are still anticipating a potential gala gift twist where Cynthia may end up being able to nominate somebody. If she nominates a guaranteed vote for Teddy to go, then that would help. That they would only need 4 votes at that point. There's guaranteed 2. They would just need 2 of Catan, Kirkpatrick, and Shayna, and they would potentially be able to keep Teddy around. But it does not seem super likely at this time that any of that will be able to happen, especially since the eviction is happening tonight. So there's not a lot of time to plan anything like that. So this is sort of, those are the votes, but we do have Shayna. So Shayna is interesting because she is pretty much full on promising both sides, her vote, that she is, fully pretending she's still with Formation, Teddy, Cynthia, and Carson. And they're basically like counting her vote. A lot of people are counting her vote as, being with them. But she has also talked to Mirai and said that she is going to keep her. She's also talked to Kirkpatrick, as well as Todrick and Misha, and she is fully pretending and or is fully on their side as well. So she's now the person who is playing the middle. It is unclear what her plan is for the actual vote. I assume that because she specifically talked to Mirai that she does plan to vote with Mirai. Now, granted, she also talked to Teddy, but at the very least, the fact that the numbers are pretty heavily on the side of keeping Mirai, I would expect that's where she will go. I don't know what her explanation will be or anything like that for the other side. But right now, she is fully playing both sides, and Carson and Teddy and Cynthia all think that she is firmly with them and talk about all of their information very openly with her.
Yeah, she is situated really well. I think she is in the position now that Todrick was advertised to be in the episode, where I think she's good with everybody for the most part. Doesn't seem to be making waves. No one is really looking at her as a double agent. It gives me reassurance that she is talking to Mirai, trying to, you know, scoop up Mirai when Mirai does stay. I think that ultimately as well, the conversations that circulate about how, you know, Todrick's telling literally anyone with a pair of ears that Carson, Cynthia, and Teddy are so close. I think Shayna realizes if Teddy leaves, that's not the worst thing for me. So I would assume, based on all the things that would make sense logically, that Teddy would go. But you are right in that she also hasn't, you know, told us directly, hey, this is what my game plan is. So I'm just going off of, you know, my analysis of what I think she should do and would do for her game. But these are the celebrities. You never know. But it has been a lot of fun watching Shayna. It has been a lot of fun watching her play.
My vibe right now is that basically when Todrick flipped and kind of turned the tables on Formation and two of them are on the block, Shayna was like, okay, I'm jumping ship here, but I'm not going to let them know that I've jumped ship. And the reason for that is that she still has, like, her primary connections are still with Formation. She's spending most of her time with Carson and Cynthia. But she's double dealing and she's going back to the Misha and Todrick side of things, because they've got the power right now. And that if she had a choice, she'd probably stick with Formation is my vibe. She's more entrenched there. But she does at least have a couple of connections, primarily with Chris Kirkpatrick and now potentially with Mirai on the other side. And so she should have options, depending on how she's able to play this situation.
Yeah. If Formation wins the HOH tonight, I think that will solidify her allegiances there. I think this for her, the way it feels to me is that she is just in case, like a Todrick wins HOH, Shayna's not going to touch the block. And I think that's kind of the work she's put in there to solidify it. But I think if she could pick based on who she likes better, I think she would be siding with Formation like easily.
Yeah. So speaking of Chris Kirkpatrick, as we said, he really wants Mirai to go and he wants Teddy to stay. When the feeds opened, he was talking to Misha and pretty heavily trying to convince her to change her mind and take Mirai out instead of Teddy, saying, I get it. That you know, that you've already put Teddy up and you've already made the move, but you can still take this back. Teddy is a bigger asset to our team. If we can get her on our side, and you know, I really want Mirai to go. She was making fun of me, and Teddy is there for me. I've got that connection, but Misha was not budging. And immediately after the conversation went to Mirai and told her, Chris doesn't want you to stay. So, make sure you go to him and make him feel like you're in his pocket, so on and so forth. Misha is not budging but Chris is pushing pretty hard. And because of that, and everybody knows that he wants Mirai to go and for Teddy to stay. Cynthia and Carson both were working pretty hard on him, trying to convince him to keep Teddy, mostly using kind of like the guilt trips and like the do the right thing kind of arguments. And he is very receptive to that. That's kind of what he's saying. As you mentioned earlier, Puya, that when he was talking to Misha, they talked about like, well, is there any situation where we could get enough votes that I don't have to vote that way, that I could still vote to keep Teddy but Mirai would still stay. And so I would be able to do the right thing, because he feels like he's torn between what he would personally want to do as the right thing and his loyalty to Misha, that he would be loyal to keep Mirai, but personally he feels like the right thing to do is to keep Teddy. And so he's torn, and Cynthia and Carson are really trying to pull at that string. And again, he seems receptive and he does seem to feel bad, but at the same time, typically when you see people in this situation, they're pretty much always going to choose the alliance. And that's pretty much where it seems like it's going. And it's pretty much what everybody is expecting at this point.
Yeah. I guess you could say it's tearing up his heart.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right. That was my only NSYNC reference, because I don't really know NSYNC that well, but we move.
So the state of the house here is that it's Todrick, Misha, and Kirkpatrick are a pretty tight alliance there. They still got, you know, Lamar on their side. Todd also seems to be on their side here. Kirkpatrick also suggested pulling in Shayna. He was saying something along the lines of like, hey, maybe the four of us, himself, Shayna, Todrick, and Misha. And then Lamar and Todd, also again, kind of on that side. They also seem to have Mirai, but I don't exactly know where Mirai stands there. I don't know if she feels good about Misha, given that Misha is trying to help her stay, or if she's just doing whatever she needs to do. She's certainly not well liked by the other side, so it's not like she has anywhere else to go. But again, Shayna was working on Mirai, so, she's got something there. Shayna, again, maybe on this side, or maybe just kind of floating in the middle, or maybe just fully playing this side, still kind of unclear about where she stands exactly. On the other side, you've got Carson and Cynthia, who obviously are also with Teddy, but if Teddy leaves, then it's just kind of going to be Carson and Cynthia. They think they have Shayna, but she's kind of bailing on them. And again, really not sure exactly where Catan falls, but he's not exactly with them either. So Carson and Cynthia are kind of on the outs here, in some trouble.
And Cynthia has been trying, Taryn. Cynthia, yes, literally has been playing spades with Todd Bridges all day to try and scoop him up. She's trying to recruit Todd Bridges. She was telling, who was she telling? She was telling somebody, she was like, I've not played spades this much in my entire life. I've literally been working on him all day. But then I guess Todd Bridges has said something along the lines of, I'm just a soldier and I'm going to go where the leader tells me to go. And I think his leader in this instance is Misha. I'm not 100% sure. It's Todd Bridges. I barely saw him last night. So,
yeah. Well, so Todd, they were trying to work on Todd. Todd talked to Misha and said, I'm not letting them know. I'm still unsure, but to you, just so you know, I do what I say I'm going to do. I am on board. Todd is on board with Misha in this situation. He may not be like completely aligned with them, completely on their side, but he's definitely working with them for this week, and misleading the other side this week. Todd talked a lot about keeping his word, being true to his word, and that just kind of like being important to him in the game. So that's a big thing there. He also did mention that the black players had agreed to not target one another in the game. I don't know how locked in that is with the other black players. He mentioned it with Todrick in the room, who's kind of like, yeah. However, Cynthia, I believe, floated out the idea of nominating Todrick with the gift power.
Yes.
if that was available. So again, not sure how dedicated everyone is to that particular idea, but Todd certainly is. And that will likely be a factor in nomination decisions for most of them, at least in the game. So in terms of targets, Todd is targeting Catan. That's who he wants out. They do not like each other.
The best thing would be if in the middle of all this heat, the two middle people, one of them wins power and targets the other. I would be floored. That'd be so funny. But yeah, apparently the two of them don't gel well at all. You know, what was funny is last night in the episode, Chris Catan had that confessional where he talked about how he doesn't really like Todd. And then he said, I'm kidding. Liana was like, I don't think he's kidding, you know? And I think we're seeing
that
here.
Is he joking? I don't know, right?
You never know with Chris Catan.
Yeah, so Todd is targeting Catan. He's really trying to push that out there. There was a group conversation with this side where they were kind of talking about targets. And he was like, you know who I think is really smart and that we should target? Chris Catan is a lot smarter than we think. He's dangerous in this. And they were like...
You mean the guy that called Lamar Odom LeBron James? You mean that guy?
Not only called him, I think genuinely thought he was LeBron James.
Yeah, that guy, the same guy who called Teddy Cruella. Like, this is the genius of the cast. None of us are safe.
Yeah. So that's where Todd stands. Misha and Todrick are pretty much straight up targeting Carson. When Todd was trying to push Catan, Misha was pushing Carson as a big threat. He did very well in the veto competition, and they're using that as kind of like, hey, this guy's a threat. He's dangerous in this game. He's very smart. He's very social. If we don't get him out, he's going to win. And Carson seems to be the big kind of, minority target in the house right now. In the sense that he is in the minority and he is being targeted by the majority. So Misha and Todrick in particular, again, as well, talking about, I gotta get this guy. If I don't get him out, he's gonna get me out. He's locked into that sort of mindset, and he seems very dedicated to trying to take out Carson before Carson can take him out. We can, I think, assume that Lamar is on board with them, that he would target either Carson or perhaps Catan, if he's feeling tighter with Todd and is more on board with that. I'm not sure because Lamar did not talk much game last night, especially not about who he might target. Chris Kirkpatrick may target Mirai since he wants Mirai out so much. When talking to Misha, sort of like the consolation about, hey, you will help us keep Misha now, but if you win, you can take her out next week. Don't worry about it. So that will likely be an option for him. Although I would expect that Misha and Todrick will continue to push like, let's wait one more week. What about Carson right now? So I would expect that Chris Kirkpatrick would likely either target Mirai or Carson or Catan, depending on where that week goes. Carson seems to be targeting just the other side, Misha, perhaps Mirai. They don't seem to be huge fans of her. Or Todrick at this point. Not entirely sure. They haven't really talked about targets, but it would certainly be somebody from that side, but probably excluding people like Lamar or Todd. And then Cynthia, pretty similar. Probably Misha or Mirai or Chris Kirkpatrick even, mm-hmm. or even Todrick, depending. When she was talking about options for nominations, she did mention Todrick and Chris Kirkpatrick. Chris Kirkpatrick would be kind of a mistake given that he's theoretically a swing vote here, whereas Todrick is like a locked-in vote against Teddy if she's trying to do votes there. But of course, when she mentions Todrick and Chris Kirkpatrick as nominations for the box, she can't nominate Misha or Mirai at that point because Misha's HOH, Mirai's already nominated. So they would still, I think, be theoretical options for her if she were to win HOH next week and have all of them as options. Again, Todrick may be safe if she feels reluctant to nominate another black player, but I'm not sure how much of that exists there, considering that he was brought up as an option.
Yeah, and I think that that's what's making this interesting for me right now, is that there are, quote, two sides, but there's also enough people undecided slash in the middle that if either side wins, we could see a combination of someone from the middle and someone from the other side go up. We could see two people from the middle go up. There's so many different variations of how this could go down that intrigues me deeply. And I kind of love going into this morning even that just given what we've seen, there's a lot of, you know, evidence proving this, but then also evidence proving that. So there's a lot of debate going on and there's a lot of uncertainty going on. So I love all of that. And I think ultimately, whoever wins this HOH tonight could set pretty much the rest of the season. I think tonight's HOH now has become the most important HOH of this season in particular.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple, maybe a small amount of players left that I would say if they won, they could probably set up some kind of structure. But in general, it's looking pretty, nebulous, looking a little bit like nobody's quite good enough to build something that's going to last in this house. But we will see. So that's kind of where things stand, as much as we can possibly get that. There were a couple of conversations primarily with, to do with some of this drama that happened last night that are worth getting into. The Todrick and Teddy one, as I mentioned, they got into it about some of the drama that happened, but the feeds were cutting a lot during the conversation, so we didn't learn a ton. But he did explain to Teddy about, like, hey, what happened with the Alliance and how he wasn't comfortable with them being brought in and why he decided to go to the other side, essentially. Teddy relayed that information to Carson, Cynthia, and Shayna. They already kind of knew, but she was really painting it particularly, you know, bad for Todrick. Like, he was saying that I was too close to you guys, and so he needed me out. And they're all kind of like trash talking Todrick, Shayna being pretty quiet. But primarily what Cynthia gets out of this is that Todrick will want to target her, you know, because she's too close to Carson. Because that's what sort of Todrick keeps saying, essentially, not realizing that Todrick is like just fully wanting Carson gone. And I'm not sure that anybody realizes that yet, who's not on Todrick's side, Carson included. And so that's kind of where things stand there. So this, you know, the remnants of formation, not pleased with Todrick abandoning them. But also again, not really talking about targeting him. Teddy talked about potentially targeting him if she stayed. But that doesn't seem likely. And on the other side of things, Carson, I think, still feels like he does have enough of a connection to Todrick that he may decide to leave Todrick alone and go after some of the people around him. And then, again, Cynthia may do the same, but it's unclear yet, if that would happen. And Todrick seems to be continuing to dig himself deeper and deeper holes. So, things could change by the time they have to make that decision.
Yeah, what's interesting with the Teddy and Todrick conversation, first of all, that was like, what, 15 minutes into the feeds we got that, which was gold. So good. Again, it got cut too much, but everything that Teddy relayed pretty much is what Todrick said. There were moments where Teddy was essentially telling Todrick, listen, I'm fine with everything you did. Just admit you're here to win. Like, I am cool with this. Just admit that you're, you know, trying to play cutthroat. You're trying to get a win here. And Todrick said, I can't do that because that's not who I am. That's not my essence. Another part of the night, Todrick talked about how, like, his type of celebrity, like, he has to play an honest game because the internet will take him to task. Some of you, Beyonce, if she said anything, no one's going to say anything. If I say, I was like, listen, first of all, don't bring up Beyonce in the same conversation. How rude. But then and then that wasn't even the word. Then he tried to talk to Carson later, which we've kind of like brought up, but Carson did not want to be in this conversation, and it was in the bathroom. He was basically trapped. Chris Kattan couldn't save him. Shayna came in. Shayna couldn't save him until eventually Carson was able to slip away. I think the best thing Todrick could have done is maybe not do anything, but he's doing everything and he's doing a lot of it. Now, you know, we're talking about maybe he won't get targeted. Maybe they'll go for like the pieces around him. But if he keeps talking a lot, I feel like he could be a casualty relatively soon. So, can he save himself? I don't know. But right now he's doing too much that isn't saving himself.
Yeah. So Todrick tries to explain to Carson what happened, why he decided to essentially jump ship. And it's the same story. You know, Cynthia blabbed about our alliance, which I was not cool with. Then we brought these two people in to the people that were blabbed to, and I was not cool with them. And then I saw you getting really tight with Teddy, and I felt left out. And so I felt like I did what I needed to do in this game. And he mentions that, you know, he lives on social media. It's very important for his reputation to be clean through this. And that he needs this game. He needs the win. He needs the money. He needs the whatever, right? By winning this game. Carson, is hearing him out, but very clearly, I just wish that you would come to me. I just like, Carson is like, look, I came here to have some fun. I got all my people together. I thought we were all just going to like hang out, work together. And you know, look, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need to win. I don't need to, I don't need this. Like you need this. I want you to win. I want you to be successful. All right. And Todrick's like, that's great. But here's why I did all this. And here's the thing here. And, Carson's just like, yeah, I just wish that you would come to me earlier. Like, yeah. But here's why I did this. And here's why I did this. And Carson reiterates again, like, after Todrick has said, I need this, Carson says, look, I don't need this. So, you know, I'm not going to be doing whatever I have to do to win like some people might do. And he's getting a little bit snarkier as as the conversation goes on, taking some more jabs as time goes on. And at some point he's just, oh, I'm just going to stop talking. I'm just going to talk less so that I don't have to lie to people. Meaning I just need to stop talking to you because, the more that I talk to you, the more that I'm going to have to lie to you or just straight up say to your face that I don't want to be here. And so, this relationship seems to not be repaired at all. And the Todrick Carson war is definitely on. But again, I'm not sure that, Carson realizes just how much Todrick is targeting specifically him. Especially after Carson or Todrick is spending so much time trying to convince him that like, hey, no, I want to still be with you. So we will see, where all of this goes, but this is the big sort of story of the week here is that Carson and Todrick, they came together and now they are at war. It seems as though right now Carson is on the losing side, but, the HOH will definitely mean a lot here. He needs a win.
I trust Carson's ability to navigate here potentially. I think again, Todrick's big problem is he's trying so hard to justify what he did. He basically wants people to he wants him to speak and then be able to respond. You know what? It makes sense why you stabbed me in the back and went to the other side. I totally get it. And they're not going to give him that. No one's going to give him that. But he's going to keep trying for that. There's a lot of moving pieces. I think today's feed should hopefully be fun because of how close this vote is. Whatever little bit we see should be some back and forth that could help. But also it is eviction day. They might, you know, cut feeds very early. We might get a lot more cuts than usual. So get ready for that. Be patient. And then 2-hour episode tonight. And then obviously tonight's feeds should be great as well.
Yes. Hopefully by tomorrow morning, we have an even better understanding of where things stand, especially since there's going to be a new HOH. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they will be talking about nominations and plans and all of that. So we will see where things go from there. Hopefully they're not the kind of players that are like, all right, taking the night off. Let's wait until tomorrow to do our talking.
Please.
Don't have time for that. Somebody's evicted Monday.
Yeah, that's not enough time. Give it
Let's move.
To us all now, please. I see some people asking if there's two of them going home tonight. Should be just the one. It's the first week. And then from Monday, get ready for the supersize Monday, Friday eviction cycles. Maybe more than one on another day in the future. But they haven't told us more than one. So it's going to be more than one. It's going to be one tonight.
Yes. So tonight we are going to watch the veto competition. Carson's going to win. He's going to take himself off. Teddy's going to go up. Then we're going to watch them likely vote Teddy out again. Not guaranteed. There are enough people in the house that are, you know, up in the air enough. Plus this box twist, which may or may not be a third nomination, might be a for all we know, it could be a replacement nomination. It could be like a golden veto kind of power, or it could be more than one nominee. Like who knows what this power is? It could, given how theoretically tight these numbers are, it could change the outcome of the vote, even if the players don't change the outcome of the vote. I think if the votes stay the same, it's very unlikely that things could change at the current position. It's not impossible. And especially with the twist, it's definitely possible that things could shift. And it would primarily, I think, fall on Mirai if things were to change. However, not completely out of the realm of possibility that we see something like Chris Kirkpatrick or even Todrick getting into some danger and potentially going home. But that would take a lot. The idea of like a third nominee at the last minute, it's kind of like, unless you definitely knew it was coming, very, very low odds that they're actually going to get voted out because there was no time to plan to vote them out. But Todrick is worried. He realizes that he could be nominated if this is a nomination power, and he is concerned that he could end up being the first person out because of it. He is definitely panicking about that. But we will see all of that tonight, and then we'll see. I don't know if we'll see the HOH competition tonight or if that will be delayed until the Sunday episode. But either way, we will likely get the results tonight on the feeds, and then tomorrow morning we'll be able to tell you who is the HOH and hopefully what their plans are. As things stand again, I would say that Carson is in probably the most danger here heading into next week, with Misha, maybe Todrick, maybe Chris Kirkpatrick in a little bit of danger, Cynthia being in a little bit of danger, and Chris Kattan being in a little bit of danger. So we'll see where all of this goes. But I think that's about what we've got for you in terms of trying to catch you up with all of the big picture stuff here. Puya, anything else that you want to talk about? I know, you know, Lamar talked about pooping the bed.
Yep. He walked into the bathroom while Mariah was showering. I was like, I just want to let the world know I crapped my bed. And then Mariah was like, no. He's like, yeah. And he like took like a wet rag with him to maybe clean it up. I don't know if it happened, but we don't need to get into that really, honestly. End of the night, Cynthia did have a one-on-one with Todrick, which was a little bit interesting. There's like little good clips and bits out there. So if you want to find these timestamps, honestly, just go through one of these Twitter accounts that does like a minute-by-minute tweets and just see what timestamp a conversation happened. Go to the feeds, watch all that. I'm sure you'll have time for that today. And I'm excited. I'm excited to find out if this Manwan thing is a coup de hat, and it gives Cynthia all this big power, or it's really a nothing twist, which, you know, Big Brother typically gives us twists that don't have like massive impact or fail. So we'll see all of that play out. I think that makes tonight's episode very intriguing. I'm going to be very nervous because if I stood there and I said, I'm going to give myself the first pick because I want the person I want, and then the bat person, the first boot, yeah, I'm not going to live it down. I already have a Uno reverse card gift ready to send to Rob if my person doesn't go out because he got shady on Twitter last night. But we'll see. I'm excited.
Okay. Yes. Chris Kirkpatrick also burnt some popcorn, which, what are you doing? This is no good.
Come on. How are you burning your popcorn? Also, they have the little alleyway backyard now, not yes. The big backyard, which I do. I like that backyard. It's like you can see everything in one shot. It's great.
It's basically, like the first, like eighth of the backyard.
Yeah.
just closed off there. So that they're able to go out at all times. It's not going to be closed off, for construction because they've got a big wall.
They have a hot tub this year. No, Ryan Lochte swimming pool mechanic, just a hot tub, which is great. But yeah, I'm excited, Taryn. I'm excited. I think, start of the season, it was a lot of like, who are these celebrities? They're delivering so far. One night in, I'm hooked. I'm excited for these next 3 weeks.
Yes. All right. Well, that's what we have for you this morning. Of course, we'll be back. I'll be back on Twitch later, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to watch the 2-hour episode along with all of you. And then we'll be live after the episode to talk through everything that we see. We'll, again, hopefully get some holes filled in terms of what was going on between last night's episode and tonight, or last night in terms of the game. And then we'll see what happens with the twist. We'll see what happens with the eviction. And then I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about. And then I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today and later tonight on the Big Brother Celebrity 3 live feeds. And that's it. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, or on YouTube, Taryn's Quest. Check out the Taryn Show. It's going on. I got a great interview with Asia The Raised by Wolves post-show recaps. I was on the first episode of season one to recap that one earlier, and I will be talking about season two with Josh, and we're gonna have a great time talking about that as well. So plenty of stuff coming up there. Pooya, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Pooyaism. They can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pooya, with Big Brother happening right now. I've moved my Friday night stream to Saturday night, so that'll be going on for the season. And then we've moved our Goose Goose Duck streams that happen weekly over to 2 p.m. Eastern for the next 3 weeks. So if you want to find those, now you know where to find them. I am still talking 90 Day Fiancé. It's been great having Rob on with me this season. It's been messy. The Single Life tell-all has been going on, so I got Rob to watch the tell-all for next week. Definitely check that out. And then as far as future projects go, Chappelle and I will be talking about at least the premiere of Bel-Air over on Post Show Recaps when it comes out in the middle of this month. So if you're into Fresh Prince, check that out when it comes out.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.